Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suzlon Energy Limited Q3 FY23 post-results call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phones. Please note that this conference is being recorded. During this call, the company management may make certain statements which reflect their outlook for the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statements. These statements are based on the management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks as fully detailed in the company's annual report, which may cause the actual results to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anshuman Ashit from ICICI Securities. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY23 post-results conference call of Suzlon Energy Limited. Today, we are pleased to host the management of the company, represented by Mr. Ashwani Kumar, Group CEO, and Mr. Himanshu Mody, Group CFO. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, followed by the Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Kumar and Mr. Mody for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anshuman. Greetings to everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Q3 earnings call. I hope you had an opportunity to review our results and investor presentation. I'll share with you an overview of the industry, and we'll walk you through our Q3 FY23 and nine months FY23 performance. We will then take your questions. As we all know, the Indian government is committed to its 2030 target of 500 GW of non-fossil fuel-based capacity. The target for wind out of this is 140 GW. With current installed capacity of 42 GW, it's clearly that over the next seven to eight years, we need installation of more than 10 GW per year. There was a crucial announcement last quarter by the Government of India of inviting bids for 8 GW per year annually from 2023 to 2030. This is, of course, will be in addition to the private sector initiatives in the commercial and industrial sector that we are seeing a good tailwinds with. Government has also taken out policies related to ISTS waivers for green plants, discontinuation of e-reverse bidding, and all of these will boost the Indian power sector as we go forward. There are two important parts of this 8 GW per annum announcement by the government. One, it will ensure participation of all the eight windy states in the development. Earlier, as was expected, what used to happen was that only where the wind is the best, those states were being crowded in development cycle. Now, the government has clearly outlined that not more than 2 GW per year will be installed in any one state. It clearly, the development of wind will be now across all the eight windy states, which starts from Rajasthan in the north region to Tamil Nadu in the south. In addition to this, there's a draft repowering policy also government has come out, which shows a potential of 25.4 GW. Being the oldest player in the industries, we definitely have our plus point when it comes to repowering opportunities in India. On the business and performance front, Q3 has been a stable quarter for us, in line with our plan. In terms of going forward, we had a major milestones within the company too, when we installed the first machine of our S144 3.X MW at Tamil Nadu. 144 actually means the rotor diameter, so 144 meters is the rotor diameter of the blades of this turbine. Our early performance report that we are getting from the first machine is very, very encouraging. In terms of our priority, because we cannot control the tariffs in which various bidders bid their things. Our priority is only to pursue quality orders with higher value and better margins. Because for us, it's not only about the top line, but also about the bottom line going forward. We continue to, of course, build our order book. We continue to execute order book as we go forward. In addition to the manufacturing, our OMS business, that continues to perform as well as it's always been. We have over 16 gigawatts of capacity around the world, out of which 13.8 gigawatts are in India. With good support from the government, including the higher allocation in union budget, a strong sector outlook, and with consistent strengthening of our fundamentals, we think your company is now equipped to leverage tailwinds of the sector from the position of strength, and that is demonstrated by our consistently improving performance. I would like to invite Himanshu now, our CFO, to take you through our financial performance.
Thank you, Ashwini, and very good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've had a chance to browse through our investor deck, which has been uploaded on our website. I would be using slide numbers 18 to 22 of our investor presentation that's on the website as a reference point for the discussion during this presentation. Q3 of FY23 has seen us register consistent improvement on all our key parameters. Our balance sheet is stronger as a result of significant debt reduction post the rights issue. It will be further strengthened with the receipt of rupees 600 crores of balance call money on the rights, which is still pending for us to be called. We are pleased to report that the consolidated net worth of the company has turned positive after a period of 9 long years. Our consolidated Q3 FY23 PAT before exceptional items is rupees 78 crores for the quarter, and this is the highest PAT in over 5 years that the company has been able to achieve purely based on the operational parameters. This is against a Q3 FY22 PAT of rupees 37 crores for the corresponding quarter last year, registering an increase of more than 100%. We did a delivery volume in the 9-month FY23 of 482 megawatts with a revenue of 4,257 crores as against 9 months in the previous financial year where we did a delivery of 471 megawatts with a revenue of 4,078 crores respectively. We continue to maintain a tight control on our costs as is reflected in our profit margins. As commodity prices and supply chain issues stabilize, the positive impact of the same will be more and more apparent in the coming quarters in our profit and loss statement. With continuous focus on deleveraging of our balance sheet, we have achieved substantial reduction in our net finance costs, which for the quarter 3 FY23 stands at rupees 80 crores vis-a-vis rupees 181 crores for the same quarter last year, which is a reduction of 101 crores, which is more than 56%. For the 9-month FY23, our interest cost stands at rupees 321 crores vis-a-vis interest cost of rupees 540 crores for the same period last year, which is a reduction of more than 41% in the finance costs. Hence, there is a marked improvement in our financial parameters like net debt to EBITDA stands at 2.6 times on a trailing 12-month basis for December 22, whereas our net interest coverage ratio is at 1.9 times for this year, which are very healthy parameters. I am happy with the way we are progressing on all our initiatives to further strengthen the fundamentals of our company on the P&L and balance sheet side both, whilst keeping a very, very strong focus on the bottom line. On the overall economy, of course, as you know, inflation is under control and the economy is showing great resilience going forward. And as Ashwini mentioned, with great sectoral tailwinds, this will augur well with the sector and encourage investor sentiment over the next several years. With that, I'd like to conclude my presentation and we can open the floor for any Q&A that the callers may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shubham Shukla from Voyager Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. So my question is like around the order book. It's in the capacity and megawatts. Can I get a like monetary value of it? Like how much is it going to be? Something.
Yeah. So as of now, we do not declare the order book in monetary terms because there is of course a turbine order book which is which one can safely guess by multiplying the megawatt by whatever is cost per megawatt that is installed from our revenue. There is equivalent amount of order book, if I want to call it an order book, is in our services business where we have these contracts going forward which will remain with us for over next many years. So because of the two different aspects of the business, we tend to not to describe the order book in monetary terms. In terms of megawatts, I think so it's already there on slide. That it is 782 megawatts. Right? Well, that's only, as I said, manufacturing order book.
Okay. And about the debt, as we have seen the significant decrease in our debt levels, and that also we have seen in finance cost. Like, do we see any more reduction or like to net debt free like in couple of quarters or years? Like, just a rough idea about it.
So, you know, whilst our scheduled repayments on the debt continue, Shubham, there is, as I mentioned, there is about another 300 crores from subsequent tranches on the rights that has clearly been identified from the end use of the rights issue towards repayment of that debt. In addition to the repayments that are scheduled, another 300 odd crores will go towards debt reduction. So to that extent, it will be an expeditious reduction on the debt here also in the coming few quarters.
Okay, but this is in for like coming quarters. But like, do we see in like debt-free condition, like in maybe like 2-3 years down the line, or like any plans out of like to have it?
So a bit too early for me to give you such a forward-looking guidance. But yes, we are maintaining the financial discipline of ensuring that the leverage keeps reducing on a significant basis, and hope to see us a day soon where the balance sheet would be net debt positive.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is, in your third quarter and 9 months revenue, what is the operations and maintenance services income and what is the margin contribution of that income?
So we'll give that to you, Sumit. You want just for the O&M for the Q3 or you're talking for the 9 months period?
Both.
Of course, it is a part of the segmental revenue that we have given on a, so I'll just give you the numbers. So it is a total of, for the December ended quarter, it is 476 crores in revenue and for the 9 month period is 1386 crores.
Okay. And if you could give us a flavor of the kind of margins this business would be making at a EBITDA level?
So at the EBITDA level, this business would be roughly about in the vicinity of 44%-45%.
Okay. And I'm assuming this will be, I mean, there is this large portion of this will flow down to PBT.
That's right. I mean, on a standalone basis, but of course, on a consolidated basis, you'll have to adjust it for the interest outgo that we have towards the debt on the balance sheet.
Fair enough. My second question is, you know, development around India inviting 8 gigawatt wind projects annually is very good. But what is the traction that we are seeing after this announcement? Is there any visibility on when which state is going to start?
So from what we hear from the market is that there have been, after the announcement, there have been a series of meetings between the ministry and the nodal agency, which is SECI. And I think so we should expect the first bid announcement as part of this in the coming few weeks, if not maybe couple of months.
Okay. So how are you?
Actually, this is the first time, and this has been our industry request from the government, that please announce policies till 2030, because you have a target of 2030, and this is the first policy which they have announced, which will last till 2030.
Right. Right. So how exactly is the tariff going to be discovered for the winning bidder? If you could just explain us.
So it will still be a bidding process, but it will be one time bid, single stage bid, rather than usually what used to happen was that everybody used to submit bids, and suppose I had quoted 3 rupees and all. After everybody's bids were received, they would start doing what is called a reverse auction and give you a chance to improve your bids. Now, what was that time happening was that a lot of people would reduce their bids just for the competition's sake or whatever, in their own judgment. And many of the projects did not happen because the bid got awarded at unviable tariffs. So, basically, everybody welcomed the idea that everybody does their own calculation, submits a bid on which they believe that wind power can be supplied, and the lowest person actually gets awarded the contract. The details of this, how this whole scheme will work, are, as I said, is being worked out by the ministry and the nodal agency, which is SECI for Government of India, and they will come out soon with their first bids.
Sure. And this would get classified under central auctions in your order backlog, because it's SECI?
Yes, yes, definitely. These are all central auctions, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will pool the power from multiple states and then sell it to the distribution company.
Got it. What is the additional promise that you have in, you know, state auctions and captive retail PSUs, say, 1 year forward basis?
So, some of the states have been active in their auctions, mainly Maharashtra, Gujarat, and Madhya Pradesh, and Rajasthan. In addition, the corporate market, if you ask me, the latest circular, which everybody was waiting from CERC, got released only on seventh of February. So we see now a big push in the corporate market, which used to be only within state to interstate transmission, because the government's journey on the interstate transmission for the corporate markets is now clear. So up to June 25, there is no transmission charges, and there have been a lot of inquiries by the corporates from with us and with other equipment suppliers on setting up wind and solar and hybrid projects for supplying to their manufacturing works or their steel plants or their aluminum plants, which are not in the windy states.
Okay. Okay. And just to, I'm assuming that, in terms of CapEx, because you have significantly higher manufacturing capacity, there will be no significant CapEx for the company in the next 1 year?
Yes, I don't think so there will be any major significant CapEx in the next few years.
What is the additional cash pending to be received, you know, on the rights, Matt?
Another 600 crores is what's pending.
And this will come over what time frame?
So that's something we are just, you know, in the midst of our budgeting process for next financial year. So whilst I may not be able to give you a precise answer, but, you know, as part of the budgeting process, you will factor that in, and I'm sure the board will decide on the same soon.
Excellent. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a good turnaround. So my first question is, sir, the backlog. So, of course, we are looking at the central auction, which is going to happen maybe in the next 3 months down the line. But are there backlog from the bids which were closed in the fiscal, which are available for us to, you know, to tie up? And is there, can you quantify the quantum, which is still not tied up as of now?
So if you ask me, and that again is the best of our information, there is no published data on that.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but from SECI 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the 13 is just concluded, they would be, I would say, more than 3 gigawatts of bids which are not tied up with any equipment supplier. How much of these bids will actually go ahead and how much will get tied up with us and other equipment suppliers, I don't want to guess. Clearly, with our turnaround, we are a party which most people will have their discussions with.
Okay, understood. So we are in discussion with most of them, and there could be some wins, right? The next.
But I'm saying whether they do the project or not on those tariffs is their call. I can't make that decision.
There is a fair chance that it's 3 gigawatt. If they do the project, there is a potential for us out there. Is that right? Fair assumption, right?
Second,
how much international megawatt in OMS services and the margins in the international OMS services is this significantly different from the domestic?
Yeah, so in the international O&M, we have about 1 gigawatt approximately under a mix of comprehensive maintenance and what we call a technical services agreement. You know, which is why, yes, you're right, that the margins would be lower in the international because, you know, in India we also enjoy the benefit of being a scaled-up operation. So the margin, it's a little more than a break-even operation, I would say single-digit percentage margins at the operating level in international OMS.
Understood, sir. Thirdly, sir, on the hybrid opportunity, that's a very large opportunity. Are you doing something to figure out how to get that business, that side of business? I don't think we have got any hybrid, you know, wind equipment out of us as of now.
No. So let me just define it. The hybrid projects have a wind element and a solar element, and then there is an integration of the two.
Yes.
So many of our already orders that we have talked about and we have received are the wind portion of the hybrid projects.
Understood.
So what if you talk about our order book that we disclosed, then I'll just give you one example of the order we disclosed last quarter. This quarter which was there on Aditya Builder. Now most of that 146 megawatt are part of hybrid projects. Since we don't do solar EPC ourselves, we do the wind portion of hybrid projects and then we help the customer in integrating the two sources and connecting to the grid.
Understood. Thank you and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Doshi from Pinpoint Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, a couple of questions. First, if you can update us on the status of the non-core asset sales that are being planned, probably I'll continue with the second one to this.
So yeah, Dhaval, hi. There were a couple of assets that we've identified, as we mentioned in the last quarter. One of the two assets, I think we should be able to conclude fairly soon in the foreseeable future. So, once we conclude on that, then we will take stock of how and when to progress with the divestment of the second non-core asset. So I think in the very near future, we should be able to report concrete progress on the divestment of the first asset.
That sounds encouraging. So I'm presuming this financial year would have one and the next would have the other.
This financial year has about 6 weeks to go, so let's see.
Okay. Second question was with regards to the working capital. When do you think we'll be in a position to ease out our overall limits with the banks or ease out the working capital situation, and post which we can start bidding aggressively for projects? Right now, we are constrained by working capital in terms of the bidding. So when do you expect this situation to ease out?
Dhaval, we are in very advanced dialogue with about four to five financial institutions, and I'm really happy with the significant progress that we've made with each one of them. We have an early sanction on a small working capital limit on board as well. I will not be able to disclose the amount or the name of the institution as yet, but it's encouraging signs, and I think by the exit of this quarter or early Q1 of next financial year, we should have made significant progress for us to deliver on our next year's business plan.
So is it safe to assume that we could see a material jump in our order book position only once this sanctions from all the four banks that you're mentioning is done, and till that time, the order book growth will be constrained?
Not exactly, because I think so. Our order book, as we have disclosed this quarter, we are going for quality orders and the orders that will happen. And so our order book growth will continue to be robust as and when people start awarding and finalizing their OEM suppliers. In terms of working capital, as Himanshu said, we are already on our way, and working capital are not restricting our order book as of now.
Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kothari from Pictet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just had a few questions. One, I was a bit confused about how.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. The line for you is not very clear. I request you to please speak into the handset.
Overall, and out of this 12.8 is India, interested in international.
Excuse me, Mr. Kothari. The line for you is not very clear. Mr. Kothari? Ladies and gentlemen, the current participant in the queue has dropped from the queue. We will proceed with the next participant. We will take a question from the line of Abhijeet Anand from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I want to understand the present competitive landscape. Who are the top five players? Because we understand some of the earlier players who used to be in the last cycle do not do much on the domestic side. So have we seen some new players, some Chinese player or something of that sort? So if you can give a perspective on that side.
I think so. The three largest players in the market today, according to my personal opinion, is Siemens Gamesa, Suzlon, and Envision. The other two international players are not that much focused on Indian market. The remaining are quite a small capacity, and they may not have the best of products for larger orders. So these three, I would say, are the people who will gather the maximum market share in India this year and next year.
And in terms of capacity, how would that be among these players? In
things?
I think so each one of us will have enough manufacturing capacity to satisfy the market.
Okay, and Envision, if you can just hold on, how long have you been in the Indian market?
So Envision came out with the product I think it's a couple of years back, and only those turbines have been installed. It's newer product. He's got some orders which are under delivery. Again, all of this is, I would say, the best of my knowledge, and those will be installed going forward.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Mukesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kothari from PicTech. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm sorry, my line dropped while I was asking the question. I'm not sure if you got the entire question. The question was, how much is the O&M fleet today? Because you said 16 gigawatt overall, 12.8 in domestic, but then you also said 1 gigawatt in international, so I was a bit confused.
Sorry, Prashant, your line is very bad. We couldn't really hear your question. I heard something about 1 gigawatt in international. That's about it.
Okay. Is it any better now?
Much better.
Okay, great. Okay, so the question was on the O&M fleet, how much is it really? Because I heard 16 gigawatt overall, and I also heard 12.8 in domestic and 1 gigawatt in international. So much not adding up for me.
Yes, a part of the OMS fleet, the balance would be under it's either under warranty period, or it may be a fleet that is churned out beyond its life cycle period.
I see. Okay, so you're only getting revenues from 12.8 plus 1, 13.8.
That's right.
Okay, understood. Okay.
No, sorry. It's 13.8 plus 1. If you go to slide 14, the Indian installed base is 13.8 gigawatts plus 1 overseas. And plus some in TSA and space supply agreement, yeah.
13.8 plus 1. Okay, understood. And what was our market share in the in the kind of orders placed in this year? If you have some a ballpark number to help us?
It's very difficult to get the data, so we don't keep it. We usually go by the Government of India numbers on the commissioned turbines at the end of the year. That's the only, I would say, reasonable number to follow. And there's no database or public information on how much order book people have got. And more importantly, even after they've got it, whether they are proceeding with these others or not. So that's why we do not try to follow. We know which are the customers we are dealing with. Once we lose a customer, also we know usually, okay, this has been lost to this and this supplier. But I don't think so. I'll have a market share number, which is any, you know, in any seriousness I can claim to be right.
Okay, and in terms of actual installations, then what is our market share in the last year?
42%.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is definitely better than our installed market share, which is quite encouraging.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other question was, I mean, looking at your EBITDA in the O&M business, it seems that the manufacturing business is not yet making any EBITDA margins. But I thought that our break-even is roughly around 600 megawatts per year. Was my understanding wrong, or is there some change in the economics of the business?
No, so we have, you know, for this nine-month period, the WTG manufacturing business has yielded an operating profit. Of course, so has the O&M business. So that continues to be encouraging. And, you know, on the WTG side also, we have a modest EBITDA for the 9 month period.
You have contribution margins of 30%, that's kind of for the WTG business or for overall business?
No. For the OMS business, we have margins which are in the 40% plus region. The WTG, of course, you know, we have a certain breakeven threshold, which, you know, results into a single-digit operating margin currently. As and when we grow in the volumes, that adds to the WTG manufacturing margin.
Right. The WTG contribution margin would be about of the order of what, how much?
For the current nine-month period, it will be about 16%.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Do you think that will change materially going forward, or there is not much change expected in the contribution margins because of competition or whatever?
It should be similar, as we go forward as well.
Okay. Okay. Understood. There's obviously this issue about a large conglomerate also in the green space who's getting into a bit of a financial stress possibly. Just wanted to understand your exposure to them and could that be cause of any risk in terms of order cancellations or maybe stretch in terms of working capital?
I think I will refrain myself to talk about, I would say other companies on this call. Just to tell you that any such events, if they had a material impact on our current operations or going forward, we would disclose it to everyone.
Okay. Maybe to ask it differently, I mean, how much is our customer concentration really?
No, I think so our customer base is pretty well diversified in current order book, huh?
All right.
There's no customer concentration at all, actually, if you ask me, in the current order book.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to restrict yourselves to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Rohit Bahirwani from Vijit Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. As we all know, government will annually invite bids for 8 GW wind projects during 2023 to 2030. How much the company is expecting from this, and from when we can expect the orders to start coming?
I think so in terms of timeline, I think so it's a very positive and announcement by the government in two aspects. One, it has given a clear roadmap for the next 7 years of 8 GW per year. Number two, by reducing the step of e-reverse auction, the timeline for conducting the bid itself has been reduced. We are now awaiting the next steps from the ministry and this nodal agency, which is SECI. Both of them should come out, as I said previously, in the next few weeks in the terms of processes. As and when the bids get awarded, usually there are two processes in this. One is before submitting a bid, a lot of people speak to us, and they become our potential customers, and they bid on the basis of our discussions with them. Two, post-winning the bid, of course, they want to place the orders because they have only 24 months usually to set up the projects. So we would expect as and when this gets the full traction, which is going to happen over the next few months, our everybody's order book and the whole wind sector will improve substantially.
So in this wind segment only, if we see the annual capacity, the company has a substantial part, and if I'm not wrong, 33% of the total national capacity is with the company. So how much from this total 8 GW plan of the government company is expecting?
Instead of giving futuristic numbers, let me just tell you that currently, out of the 41,000 megawatts in India, we have installed 14 GW. So that is more than 33% of each installation which has happened in India in the past. The similar has been our market share in the recent quarters. So I would not give any future guidance of what is the order book expectation, but I would say our performance has been healthy so far.
Okay. Okay. And what is the average time between receiving of orders and commissioning of the project? If you can give some information on that.
Yes. So in SECI big type of order, it is usually, I would say the supply will happen around 15 months, and the final commissioning happen in 24 months, 18-24 months of the order. Because not all turbines are installed on a particular day, they do it one by one. And in terms of smaller orders from corporate customers and people who use it for their own purposes, the supply is usually in 3-6 months' time, and the installation in 9-12 months' time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from H.G. Hawa & Co. Please go ahead.
So this has been like a tumultuous, you know, 10, 11 years that we have spent prior to last year. So what are the two key lessons that, you know, we have, you know, imbibed from these 10 years and, you know, which, hopefully we will not, you know, repeat again, you know, those mistakes?
I think so. I mean, not only from this, from my previous experience also, the simple, I think so it is always good to follow the policy of financial prudence and plan according to how the market is going to behave. And of course, keeping to also, you know, in terms of transparently and, you know, and focusing on the corporate governance, do your business. And I think so that financial discipline is something that, as you can see in the results, has been brought about by reducing not only our financial costs, but our operating cost over the last many quarters. And so that's something I think so which is good for any industry and any company. You'll always have some events which will be unexpected, but as long as you have a robust discipline and transparency and governance, you will come through.
And so secondly, Mr. Tulsi Tanti was like, you know, a very legendary entrepreneur, and he is going to be missed like anything by his lot. How has the organization now, you know, restructured, and, you know, what were the key roles that he was playing? And now, who is fulfilling those roles? What is also Mr. Girish Tanti's, you know, contribution now to the company? And if you could just, you know, elaborate on where the, you know, he may be missed, how we have actually, you know, coped up with it.
Yeah. So I think so, what has always been the strength of Suzlon in terms of even when Tulsi Bhai was around, and we do miss him, of course, on every day, is that it always had a good professional senior management team, which was backed by the rich experience of board and of our founder. This time, for the first time, we are disclosing this in public domain, in obviously the slide 16 of our investor presentation. So Vinod Tanti, his younger brother, has taken over, who's always been involved in the technology and service leadership of Suzlon, has taken over as chairman and managing director. And Girish Tanti, who had earlier worked in Suzlon and then stepped out, has come back, and he's earlier led the various functions like IT, HR, CSR, and also establishing global business and corporate development. So that's what his experience is, which is being utilized by the company now. Of course, Himanshu, our Chief Technology Officer, Bernard, and Mr. Mangal, who heads our OMS business, are the professional faces who have been well experienced in infrastructure and power space and bring that experience for the company. I think so the transition, though personally, I would say we all, personal loss, has been fairly smooth in terms of operations. And if I can share one statistics, that no one from senior management has put in the papers since that unfortunate episode.
Okay, thank you, Lord, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prasad M., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for picking my question. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. First of all, thank you for your really honest way of executing the business. I really appreciate on that. And thanks for your good numbers. My first question is, I am looking at the slide and then I see there is a lot of potential for the solar as well. Do you have any plans to get into solar energy?
I think so. There's no current plans to get into solar space, but as I said some time back, that for hybrid projects, the integration part of it is something.
Integration part is there. Yeah. Yeah. That you mentioned. Yeah. Solar, there is no plan. Okay. Because there is a lot of scope. I thought because being a big player in wind, I thought we can get into solar, but yeah. Okay. My second question is that, sir, we have around nearly 800 megawatts order book value right now. Why are we not executing aggressively the existing order book? Is there any restriction for us or limitations in terms of manpower or the technology like that we cannot execute in very aggressive, like let's say you mentioned for big institutions, it takes nearly 15 months.
So in terms of the execution of our orders, some of these orders are, as I said, being executed as and when the customer needs those turbines, because many of the customers have their own sites which may not have acquired land or not completed the evacuation, and therefore they do not want the turbines to be manufactured now and supplied. So some of the order book will get, as and when their sites are ready, will be supplied at that time. Of the size that we have, depending on when the customer is ready to receive our turbines, we supply the turbines. So currently, company-wise, whether it is labor, manpower, resources, or our manufacturing abilities, I do not see any major impediment to fulfill this order book in a timely fashion.
Okay. So what is our capacity to execute max in one quarter time?
Sir, we request you to kindly return to the question queue for further questions.
Let me just answer this, Prasad. So as I said, we do have some of the sites which are getting ready from part of this order book, which will be supplied in next 6 to 9 months' time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatinder Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. I have just one question. So we have our capacity utilization, which is somewhere in the range of 25%-30%. Can you explain in two aspects? One, in terms of management or operations, and the second, in terms of the financial obligations that you may incur if this capacity utilization was to increase dramatically over the next 2 to 3 years? Thank you.
So as we all are aware, that the Indian wind market as an overall market did not do too well over the last few years between 18, 19, 19, 20, 20, 21, and 22, 22. So those 4 years were not very good for Indian wind market. So our capacity utilization clearly became less. However, going forward, this capacity utilization, as you said, being the pioneer, we have the best of manpower, best of manufacturing facilities, best of OMS operating and management teams, and therefore we expect the capacity utilization as the Indian wind market grows to become higher. This will, of course, reflect in better performance of the company, both in terms of its revenue as well as other financial parameters.
No, what I mean to ask is, what type of challenges do you see in terms of, so obviously at 25%, the employee or the operational staff strength that you would have is very different from what you will hypothetically be doing at 75%. So that is one challenge that I can definitely see. Could you also explain this in terms of, whether you need to upgrade your existing facilities in terms of CapEx and all, whatever.
Yeah. So thanks, Mr. Agarwal. I'll clarify that. So I think our fixed manpower is fixed and it can go up even if the volume increases substantially.
Okay.
What we need to add up is what we call the variable manpower. So okay. Suppose I'm just giving an example, we are making X turbines per month. If right. you have to make 2X turbines per month, then the labor force and the people we need to, at that level, the what we call the variable manpower, that will go up. So that is,
okay.
and I think so in Indian ecosystem, getting those variable manpower, skilling them is something we have done it in the past and we are confident of doing it in future.
Okay. And sir, what about monetary cost in terms of, you know, redoing those factories or they are, you know,
no,
are
as
full capacity?
As I explained in the previous question, we do not envisage any major capex over over the next few quarters to do what we plan to do, which is to fulfill our existing order books and anyway future order books.
No, not the existing order book, but let's hypothetically assume if your capacity utilization
was to say, yeah. So I understand even if the volume were to substantially increase,
yeah.
To let us say even I'm just giving a number to let us say 2x number, we do not have to do a substantial capex.
Perfect. And for the next 3 years, you would say that at least in terms of maintenance capex, that requirement is low, is it?
Yes, in terms of new capex, the requirement is low.
Perfect.
In terms of maintenance capex, each manufacturing works will have its own thing, which is all funded through normal costs.
Perfect. That is very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Bhai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my one question would be like, is there any possibility promoter planning to increase the stake in future?
Sir, as management, we would not like to comment on our shareholders' shareholding of our company. And so that's where I would leave the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from Sarthak Metals Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, firstly, many, many congratulations. We are delighted to see the aggressively healthier getting of our very own company's launch. So my first question would be, we're all aware that this business requires a lot of free cash flow. So is it safe to assume that out of this policy push of 8 gigawatt of wind energy, is it safe to assume that government would also like to distribute it amongst the top players?
Well, the government will conduct bids, and depending on the bidders winning the capacity and their preferred manufacturing suppliers, we would expect this 8 gigawatts to be distributed with the suppliers who are competitive and have the capacity and intention to take part in India's growth story.
Right, right. And is it possible that in the near-time future we would be able to see a significant push in the execution of the total megawatts? Like, it's been a while since we've been noticing that it's been around 150 to 170 megawatts. Is it possible that Suzlon would be executing like higher number of megawatts in coming future?
Yeah, we have a good order book, and depending on our customer's requirement, let's all keep our fingers crossed and hope for better execution.
Right. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinay Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the great number. So my first question is, where do we see with the recent noise from in the market on Adani's, where do we see the orders from them? Do we see any kind of flowing from them? And on the order flows, around 800 megawatts was the distribution of WTG last year. And in Q4, we see Q4 is the major peak in our business. So what would be the Q4 and, rough 24 megawatt distribution? Thank you.
As you are aware, we are not providing any future guidance of what is going to be this quarter or next quarter or next year. But as I said, we are disclosing whatever we know, which is the current order book. And you are right that last Q4 of last year was an exceptional quarter with very high volumes, which is always very difficult to replicate.
Okay, okay. And what about the orders? Any update on the, do we are in talking terms with the Adani Group for orders?
So we have supplied turbines to Adani in the past, but as I explained to the previous question, that currently our order book is well distributed and there is no concentration of orders from any single customer.
Okay, okay. Thank you. And just the one more thing, like, with respect to the non-core assets, you know, especially the Pune office, that is expected to be closed in next financial year, is it? Is the assumption, like, understanding correct?
So as we said, we're working on one of the two non-core assets and hope to conclude that soon. Of course, at the right time, the company would make the relevant announcements to the exchanges.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohan Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Mohan Kumar, the line for you has been unmuted. You may go ahead with your question.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, you're
yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. So, sir, actually, I had gone through the investor presentation he has shared yesterday. So, I was observed one thing that, okay, the order book actually, it was reduced compared to that previous quarter. Correct me, sir, if I'm saying wrong. It's around some 50 megawatts, it is something it is reduced. Okay. And that is the one question. And mainly, I wanted to understand that, okay, why the order book has reduced? Like, you know, last time you guys said that, you know, there is a chance of, you know, strong order, you know, book is in pipeline. So by considering that, what probably this quarter would have been, you know, order book could have been increased. Right, sir? So may I know the reason, sir?
So, sir, as you're aware that, you know, order book requires both sides to finalize. So one is the people who have won the bids, etc. They have to finalize their projects and then finalize with us. So they have been, so depending on what has happened over the quarter, I think so we have done fairly well by keeping our order book almost at the same level. As I said, we are in decent discussions with many players who have won the bids as well as who are planning for their corporate capacities. So, so that is something which we'll keep sharing with you as and when we receive a large order or on a quarterly basis.
Sir, another question is, like, last time also we heard that something, strong order book, you know, is in pipeline. Okay, it's currently it is, you know, advanced stage. Okay, even this quarter also we have been hearing the same statement. So I just wanted to understand that how much time would it really takes, you know, when we say advanced discussion to get it materialized, you know, a real order?
Yes, and I think it's a fair question, Mohanji. And I think so if we would expect as the Indian wind market grows overall, the order book of Suzlon will look also healthy. Because the Indian wind market has been muted for last many quarters, the order has been steady rather than in a very growth aspect.
Okay. And another question on the trade receivables, sir. Like last quarter also, we are almost the same number, and even this quarter also, we are at the same number, trade receivables. So any blocking things for us to get it receive these things, sir?
No, so there's no red flags there. Of course, the sheer sales in terms of rupees crores has increased. So, I mean, if you look at the receivable, it may be similar, but the number of days outstanding is, you know, in that sense reduced. So no red flags on any trade receivables.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks for your effort for keeping this company up. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mohan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Sir, my question relates to the recent auction of SECI in the May of around 1200 megawatt and recent 600 megawatt. So the ordering for these turbines has already happened or is still on the way?
No, as I explained in the previous question, there have been outstanding orders to the best of our knowledge, right? So you are talking about SECI 12 and 13, but even in SECI 9, 10, 11, there have been some bidders who have not yet placed orders. So some of the bidders would be in discussions with us, but not all orders from SECI 9, 10, 11, 12 and 13 are closed, which is what I expected. My estimate of the orders which are yet to be awarded is more than 3 gigawatts, 3,000 megawatts.
Yeah, but 8, 9, 10, there were some questions like whether that will happen or not. But these 12 and 13, these are in new region and at good rate. So that should definitely happen. Am I correct?
I agree with your assessment and we would expect we are in, the only thing I can share is we are in discussion with some of the winners of SECI 12 and 13.
So my question was it was more related to the timeline. Which generally, once they win the order, they need to prepare and then they place the order. So that's why I was asking that.
Yeah, so let me tell you the timeline. The way timeline works is after e-reverse auction is completed, then the people who won the bid get what is called the letter of award. Which once they accept the letter of award, the SECI goes and ties up with power sale to various states. They're saying, okay, these are the bids which have come for this tariff. Would you mind purchasing this power? Some of the discussion might have started before the bid, but the actual signing of what is called the power sale agreement, PSA, happens between SECI and the DISCOMs or the various states post the award of reverse auction being completed. That process can take 2 to 3 months and sometimes may extend to 9 months also. Once that is signed, then they tie up with the power purchase agreement with the winning bidder. That, okay, we have signed this now, your beneficiary is, let us say, Uttar Pradesh or some state, and please come and sign the power purchase agreement. From the date of signing the power purchase agreement, the bidder is given 24 months to execute the project.
Okay.
That is the timeline. And he would want to finalize the order close to, I would say, because once he knows that, yes, power sales agreement has been signed by SECI and I can go ahead and I need to do this. So that's what he does. Yeah. So in SECI 12 and 13, as you rightly said, these have been recent awards. And I don't know the exact status of what is the status of SECI signing those PSAs or PPA, but as I'm all I can say is that we are in advance and discussions with many of the bidders, but the final order will only be done once they are sure that they have signed a PPA with SECI.
Okay, and you are confident of maintaining your market share?
I'm confident of doing well.
Okay, great, sir. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So we thank everyone on the call for participating and thanks ICICI Securities for organizing this call. And we look forward to future calls and our investor relations is available for any queries that you may have on the company or in your shareholdings. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.